You are tuned to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 74. We are still the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Baldur, and therefore Odin. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome along to the show. So before we get started with the show, the review, etc. this week, I just want to give a few shout-outs here. First of all, we have two brand new listeners. Well, I don't know if they're brand new listeners, but they have now joined the Facebook group. The first being Fernando Rocha, hope I'm pronouncing that properly. And the second is Valence Robinson, and I hope I'm pronouncing that one correctly as well. Is it Valence? Is it Valence? Is it Valence? I don't know. Anyway, I don't want to disrespect anybody by mispronouncing your name, though I inevitably probably will mispronounce people's names. So if I do it wrong, then please feel free to correct me. I'm happy to be corrected in that regard. Anyway, thanks very much, guys, for joining the Facebook group, and please feel free to participate, comment, etc. Fernando has already been posting some pretty cool artwork there, so go to the Facebook group and check that out. And of course, anybody out there, and especially those of you who are in the silent majority who I have not heard from, please feel free to email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and I love hearing from people. All right, and another quick shout-out. Had a comment on the Facebook group from our longtime friend of the show and listener, Eric Meador, who says that he likes the shorter shows. Well, thanks very much for your comment. I do like doing shorter shows sometimes. I think that there's a little bit more utility sometimes in doing a shorter show, and certainly they take less time to do and take less time to edit, take less bandwidth to upload. At the same time, I do like the longer shows too. And I understand that it's never going to be a situation where you can please all the people all the time. So sometimes a short show is appropriate. Sometimes a short show is necessary, as in the case of these vacation shows. And sometimes a longer show is preferred. If you have a good two-part story, for example, and you want to cover it all in one episode, I think that makes a lot of sense. So I guess what I'm saying here is I'm trying to keep it open as far as format, as far as the length of the show, as far as the material that we're covering on the show. We are going to be expanding our range of material that we're covering. I know that I've talked about this on the Facebook page, that Thor Volume 2 is going to be coming into the mix pretty soon. We also have some other side stuff coming in, and also some non-Thor stuff coming in. So hopefully everyone is looking forward to that. I know I am. And I loved doing the Batman issue a few episodes ago, so I'm looking for more opportunities to do stuff like that that's a little bit offbeat for the topic. It's really easy sometimes to get stuck in a rut. I know that in my other podcasts, Tom Harris USA and Tom Harris Live, which was the live radio show I did over on United Kingdom Radio, it was really, really easy to get in a stable format, and it gets very comfortable, sometimes to the point of where it gets a little bit stale. And I know that that happens to everybody sometimes, but I don't want that to happen to this show, because I really would like to keep it as fresh as possible, as fresh as humanly possible, I guess I should say, or godlyly possible. Godlyly? Is godlyly even a word? No, I don't think it is. Anyway, we should definitely be moving on at this point. I think I have done all my shout-outs, said hello to everybody. Yeah, did I do that? Yeah, okay, I think I did. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
All right, so to no one's surprise, we're going to continue our exploration of Thor Blood Oath with issue number 5. The story and art are by Michael Avon Erming and Scott Collins. Will Quintana did the coloring. Dave Lanfear did the letters. Laser Schmidt and Sitterson were the assistant editors. Tom Brevoort was the editor. Joe Quesada was the editor-in-chief. And Dan Buckley was the publisher. And as we start out the issue, as we recall from last time, Volstagg is having a real bad day. In fact, he's just been decapitated by the spear of Coolin, who is the legendary Irish hero and his very bloodthirsty spear. And there's a little bit of a recap here talking about how Volstagg didn't expect to be decapitated. If he hadn't gone fishing, he wouldn't have killed the giant. If he hadn't done the giant, they wouldn't be on the quest. Blah, blah, blah. Got to give the team credit for doing a recap in a more creative way than you would ordinarily think, though I'm sure that Volstagg would prefer it if his head weren't flying through the air while the recap was going on. And so, so we start out the issue with Volstagg's severed head flying through the air. And we open up to a double-page splash here. And we have the hero Coolin, and after he has sliced off Volstagg's head, he is flipped around and slashed the front of Hogan's clothing as well. And Thor's like, Volstagg! And Fandral is ducking out of the way. Hogan's trying to get away. And Volstagg is just laying there. Is Volstagg dead? I don't know. And Thor is like, for Volstagg! And he goes to attack Coolin. And Fandral is also on his game and is bouncing after Coolin with his sword. Thor goes to grab the spear, but Coolin's too fast for him and just jams the butt of the spear right in Thor's face and knocks him back. And Coolin's like, you old gods, slow as clouds. And he then takes the spear and strikes upward through Thor's chest and skewers Thor right through with the sword. And Thor's like, ugh! And he's got blood coming out of his mouth. And he falls down. And things don't look too good for Thor here. And Coolin's looking down at Thor and he says, I'll return for your hammer once I slay your friend's golden hair. Ha! And at that point, Fandral comes from behind, strikes with his sword, sticks his sword right through Coolin's hand. A very sort of Garth Ennis sort of scene here. And Fandral's like, for Thor, for the god of thunder and the warriors three, you shall find Fandral to be the swiftest of the three, bloody boy. And Coolin's eyes glow and he's like, fools, Frood knew of your coming. And used the spear to trap you so that he might take your legendary hammer Mjolnir for our own. And you fell for it, you slow old men. And he knocks over Fandral with his spear. Though it doesn't look like he hurt him too badly. And pulls the sword out of his hand and says, Fa! Give me your blood, gods! I crave it as my spear does. And he's holding on to the spear, which is glowing like fire. And he is suddenly distracted by a shadow, and he turns around to be clobbered by a Mercedes. You know it's a sign of good art when you can tell what model of the car is being used to smash the bad guy. And of course, it's Hogan who has gone and he's picked up the tourist's car and smashed Coolin over the head with it, with a thracoom. You forget these guys are Asgardians and they can do stuff like pick up cars. And we have a far shot of this stone circle as he does this with the car exploding. And these two tourists, they're not the same tourists that we saw last time. And they're like, our car! And we see that Coolin is laying there in the fire and the spear is laying off to the side smoldering. And he's rising up, struggling towards the sword, and he sees the figure of Hogan standing over him with his mace drawn, and Hogan just clobbers him with a roar. Coolin's laying there bloodied, and he's like, slaughter, come to me, and the spirit is flying towards him, but Hogan grabs it and says, no, and you can see this sound effect, like Hogan's being burned by the spear. Gotta say, props to Michael Avon Ooming here for writing Hogan as a real badass, because that is really something that's important about the character. A lot of these stories that we've seen, Hogan is the quiet one. He's the one who kind of lurks menacingly in the background, and you don't necessarily get to see him do all that much. You know, Fandral is kind of flashy and Volstagg is basically this Falstaffian character. Basically, comedy relief is his thing. But it's really nice to see Hogan actually playing a really active role. And I know that there's other stuff coming up in the series where Hogan is very important. So it's good to see. And he's struggling with the spear, trying to keep it from going back to Kulin. And Thor's trying to get up. He's like, brothers, and not having much luck getting up. Fandral reasons that maybe Dionysus's pig skin, that cloth that we laid over the pig, could calm the spear with its power to make wine. So they wrap this cloth and the bag that the apple is in around the head of the spear. And he says, it is a help to us, but not to our fallen brothers, Thor, Volstagg. And our foeman seeks refuge, and we see that Kuan is ducking back inside the standing stone, that, remember, the doorway that they opened up down into the fairy realm. And Hogan is really, really pissed, and he's like, bloody dogs, blast your souls to hell. And he goes and he smashes the standing stone with his mace, and I assume at that point sealing the door into fairy. And he doesn't look real happy here. And Fandral is standing over Thor, who appears to be dying. And he's like, Hogan, Fandral, it may not be too late for us. And at that point, he drops dead. And Fandral's like, he's gone. What meant he, not too late? And they stand there over him, Hogan and Fandral, apparently being the only survivors of this battle. And the smoke is starting to clear. And Fandral suddenly realizes that they have something with them that could be of help. And Hogan's like, it's too late. And Fandral's like, no, wait. And he reaches out underneath the bag of the spear and grabs the apple. Remember the apple from issue number 2, which can cure any disease, cure any wounds, etc., etc. And he feeds a little bit of it to Thor, and Thor comes back alive. And he says that is sweet, the apple. And he realizes what's going on. He says, Volstagg. And they go over to where Volstagg's head is lying, just kind of staring up here. And Hogan's like, there's no hope for him. Thor's like, well, I've seen stranger a thing. And Fandral's like, brother, these apples do not grant immortality. No, but they heal, if their magic knows no bounds, as does the Odin power. And they put a little bit of the apple between Volstagg's lips, and the head comes to life. It's like, I want more. And Thor's like, Volstagg, you live? And Volstagg says, of course I do, you dolt. Now help me up. I can't feel my... And he realizes that his body is quite a bit farther away from his head than normal. He's like, my legs, what are they doing so far away? Why has my body abandoned me? Shall I ever feel the warmth of food and wine in my belly again? And Fandral is like, speaking of which, can I get a hand here? And are moving Volstagg's body over to where his head is. You see that Volstagg's body has picked up the head. I don't know if that's... I don't get how that works, but okay. Anyway, so Volstagg's body is holding his head in his hands. He's like, how could you let this happen to me? And Hogan's like, we need to move. And Thor's like, 'tis not the time, Volstagg. Off we must go on our journey. We've done enough damage here. And Fandral thinks that he's taken enough damage as well, is complaining that Thor can't use his hammer for anything except for transporting them from place to place. But Thor has summoned up the Ajax White Tornado. We actually get the Ajax White Tornado this time, so pretty cool. And with a whirra, 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 foosh, they disappear just as two police cars show up on the scene, leaving quite a mess for them to clean up. We then shift scenes to the valleys of Jotunheim, land of the giants, and Knives, the father of the giant that got killed by the Warriors 3, which kind of kicked this whole story off. And he's being visited by a magical witch woman who looks like she was designed by Jack Kirby. Couldn't say this absolutely for sure, but she certainly looks like a Kirby vision of a witch woman. Certainly. I wouldn't be surprised if that design was taken right from Kirby. And she's like, Old King Knives, the signs hold well for Thor and the Warriors 3. Not even death shall stop their mighty ways. They have died, raised themselves again, and have sewn shut their wounds. These are gods of honor and their word. They shall complete the task laid before them if we do not intercede. The grasscutter's sword will be theirs.
As I feared, this may not end in death or humiliation for the Aesir. My wife Ulif is going to kill me, She wants honor for her stupid boy. I have dark business to attend to. Favors to call upon in Nornheim.
And he goes off. And at this point, we shift scenes. And we find that Thor and the Warriors 3 are on top of a very green and pleasant-looking mountain. And it appears that Hogan and Fandral have attached Volstagg's head back to his body. And Volstagg is complaining that he's hungry. And Hogan's like, we're all hungry. It's like, nay, I'm really hungry. Food fell out of my neck when my head rolled. That's disgusting. But it's true. Hold still. And he's reattaching Volstagg's head. And Fandral's like, enough rest. Bring your eyes here, brothers. Look below. By the gods of old. Glad that is not our business. Even for we who have passed through death and back, indeed, would be suicide. And whatever they're looking at, Thor's like, dudes, we need to go through it. And they're like, what? Who? Why? The Odin Force. And I sense mayhap the father of the Greek gods led us here. We are guided to that very temple. And he's pointing out, you can't see what he's pointing at, but he's pointing out, that temple is where the grass cutter sword resides. And we next have a double page spread. I can't even tell you. Magnificently gorgeous artwork on this. It's a huge battle scene, and there's a big battle going on between these like human samurai and these evil demon guys. And the samurai are dressed as, you know, as you expect samurai warriors to be, and they're fighting against these demons who are wearing this really weird, crude samurai armor, like made out of bark. And they've got these evil Japanese demon-looking faces. And samurai shouting, hold the line, brothers! Do not let the demons of Mikabushi enter the temple! And it's a beautifully detailed page of all these demons and samurai fighting. And Hogan says it's impossible. Hogan's really quite the naysayer, isn't he, in this issue? 'Tis impossible to pass such armies, my brothers! I give up. I've had enough. And Volstagg has just about had enough himself, but he's losing his temper, and it's because he's hungry. It's like, fine, fine, I say thee fine. If it must be done, it must be done. And I must be done so I may get something to eat. Odin help those who stand in the way of my next meal. Onward, brothers. Let us get this bloody sword so I may cut my next meal with it. And he takes the tree, rips it right out of the ground. You tree death at the hands of Volstagg, of all people. And he rips up this enormous tree, and he goes wading into this battleground, waving this tree in front of him. And he's knocking all the warriors aside, and with a big thoom, and everyone's going flying. It doesn't matter who's good or bad in the battle, as long as they get through. So Volstagg is making his way through the battleground with Hogan, Fandral, and Thor right behind him fighting their way. And Thor saying, we know not of the battle we enter, warriors. So take no sides or take no lives. Just rush to the temple. And they go rushing in, and they reach a gate, which they bash open with a thoom. And the four of them pile into this gate, and they slam it behind them. And Volstagg takes the tree that he's been carrying in front of him, and he is blocking the gate with it now. He's leaning up against it and holding the door shut. And it's like, here, I'll hold this door. You move on. But hurry, I'm working up a mean appetite. And Thor's like, you should go into battle with hunger pangs all the time, Volstagg. I've never seen you so. Wait till you see him attack his next meal, says Fandral. Ha! It will be so, brothers. Now make haste. And Fandral's like, where are we? Thor's explaining, we are in the temple of the grass cutter sword, Japan's greatest weapon. It is to them as my hammer is to us, and the spear to the Celts. It is guarded by the dead, all of those whom it has slain over the years, being in the hands of both heroes and villains. The dead? Such as the army outside? Nay, I know not who they are. Those whom the grass cutter has felled must stay here in this cursed world, living as ghosts. Those evil things outside were demonic. And these ghosts are just going to give it to us? I somehow doubt it. And they open up the door into the temple, and we see, you know, I thought the last double page spread was awesome. This is even more awesome. And it's the inside of the temple. You have like a stairway rising up to a dais, and on top of the dais there's a sword rack, like a Japanese sword rack, and sticking straight into the sword rack, like blade down, is a flaming sword. Surrounding it are ghosts, and not just any kind of ghosts. You have, you know, sort of the sheet clad skull faced ghosts, like more of a what you'd think of as a ghost, and the rest of the ghosts, I gather that these skull faced guys are the human ghosts, and then you have the demon ghosts, and they look like the demons outside, except they're skeletal, and they're wearing these really, really fancy and ornate kimonos, and they have these flaming heads. So basically it's Ghost Rider's family. they've got these demonic flaming skulls, and this really incredible double page spread here, and there's like water lilies that are floating in the air, and I guess one of the ghosts is throwing them around. And so they're inside this temple now, and there's all these dead things, and this is where it's to be continued. I just have to enthuse a little bit more about this double page spread. I will say that this reminds me of a couple different artists. Remember how I was saying back when we were looking at the Fairy World last issue, and how that reminded me so much of Charles Vess? This actually reminds me of a couple artists who are different. Reminds me a little bit of Mike Mignola. Not so much in the detailing and all that, but more of the design, more of the composition, that sort of thing. Especially the way the flames are drawn on top of the ghost's heads, and also the flame around the sword. Reminds me very much of Mike Mignola, and something you might see out of a Hellboy comic. The rest of the art style reminds me rather of P. Craig Russell, and it has the very similar quality of the detail and the just kind of the I don't know how to say it, the sensibility of these characters and the way they're designed reminds me a lot of P. Craig Russell. There's a lot about this issue that reminds me of Sandman number 50, which was the landmark Sandman issue that P. Craig Russell drew of the Arabian Nights storyline. Remember that? And just, I remember some scene somewhere, it might have been in that book, where they had this rain of rose petals. And this is like that, except with sort of the water lilies, flowers, the chrysanthemums. I'm not really sure quite what they are. So I have to say, you know, just incredible, incredible last double page spread of the issue. And of course, that's it for this issue. So what can I say? You know, a lot has gone on in the story. You know, they had some really serious problems dealing with Kulin, but then they managed to get over that. So again, we have kind of a mythic sort of plot line going on. And that has not changed. So far, this has been a very strong series all the way through. I'm real pleased with that, and I hope you are too. I'm really, really enjoying Thor Blood Oath. And unfortunately, there's only one issue left. So that'll be next time. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Once again, thanks very much for listening, folks. And if you want to email the show or join our Facebook group, please feel free to do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And the Facebook group, which is the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. Please feel free to join us there. All right. So from Chicago, Illinois, thanks very much for listening. This is Tom Harris signing off. We'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard.